So we will pray for you. Father, thank you for Peter, good man, obedient man, who's been inspired by you, Lord, by your presence, your Holy Spirit. And he prepared something for us. Let him speak your words of living water, Lord. Let him speak freely, Lord. That we as a congregation will open our hearts and our ears. And we all pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Today we're going to talk about the truth. And the Lord says, I am the way, the word, and the truth. That's, no one comes to the Father than through me. So we're just going to focus on the truth that Jesus spoke. And the Lord said, follow me. But there is a little bit more to tell. So the team is living in truth. Who has been scammed or misled? I won't ask you to come forward to tell your stories, but we had a little scam ourselves. My son Sepp, we gave him a 3D printer. So I found one at Marketplace. Good reviews on the person that sold it. It was a little cheap, but who knows, you know, sometimes you're lucky. So I agreed to the deal. He had a little problem. Just changed his bank account, but the deal was so good. So I just say, I will just pay half, and then I was scammed for only half of the money, because never received anything. So we did not receive our printer. But we did spend our 100 euros, a wise lesson. And maybe you have experienced something likewise. And, you know, we now live in a time where lies and deceit are a lot. There's technology. AI apps that can just clone your mother's face, and as soon as they have their voice, they will call you with the voice of your mother, and you will not hear the difference. It's crazy. Movies of influencers and presidents. That's all deep fake. People are impressed. And what is truth in these days? Can you depend on the truth of the world? But what does the Bible say about the truth? And what can we do with it today? Living in truth. What is the truth? Don't want to be too philosophical. We can now just ask ourselves, what is the truth? God's word, of course, is truth. And I was just divided a little bit. We have religions, difference of insight, and false path. So religions, the main flows of the faith, Judaism, Christian, Islamic, Hinduism, Buddhism, things like voodoo and pragmatism, humanism, And of course, Jesus came as a Jew to the world. Well, you have the Islam, kind of inspired by the Judaism and the Christianity. In 560 after Christ, Hinduism and Buddhism. So, these are just some of the denominations that are in the world, of the different religions, all pretend to have the truth. But I want to really talk about false teachings. False teaching in the church itself. How do you act on this? You know, make sure you are not misled. So make sure that it's really your mother calling you, not some kind of AI hoax. And you have to be wary in the faith too. Maybe like Jehovah Witnesses. They are all a little bit misled. So they have truly a center of power. They have their own Bible. You know, they just diminish the Lord Jesus. He did not come to bring us redemption. And that's how the Jehovah Witnesses were created. So it's like 95% truth, but the rest is not so. You have the Mormon, of course, the Mormons. You have the Book of Mormon. A new version of the Gospel. Not the Gospel Jesus brought us. We have preteristen. Maybe you think they are true. There are people that believe that Jesus already came back in about 100 years after his death. And this is the 1,000 year realm of peace. So that's a little bit difficult to explain and to persist on it. And it's also not biblical. You know, we have the complete redemption. The Allverzoening. So all people are saved. No one is lost, not even the sinners. So we can go home, you know, we are all saved. No worries. And of course there is the uitverkiezing, that we are chosen. So it is stated that the Lord has created you to be saved, and I believe it is a false path. And you can also have a difference in how you think about things. So what is the most important part of the faith? There are so many denominations that believe different things. And some don't really pay a lot of attention to the spirit. And some just only look at the spirit and don't look at the Bible at all. How do you perceive truth and mercy? How do you look upon the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit? Are they still of this time? But some people believe there are no more miracles. It's just for the apostolates and not for us. So that's great. So how do you know that you are following a false prophet? Is it something new? Is it just in this time where everything is possible? But it's always, you know, in 1 Timothy 4, verse 1, the Spirit says, in later times, some will fall. They will leave the faith behind, and they will turn to misleading spirits and the teaching of demons. In 2 Timothy 4, I swear upon you, in front of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge over the living and the dead, as his kingdom comes, preach your word, persevere in it, and if it comes, there will be a time that no one will listen to the right teachings. They will just find their own teachers, and they will start believing in those that just make things up. So Timothy was warned by Paulus, there will be a time people all want to only listen to the things that sound good to them. And even in Timothy, of course, you had that spirit. So in the time of Timothy, there was the time of the Gnosts. As you were spiritual, all right, you could no longer sin with your body. And even now, that is something that people believe. But it's still recognizable. People just look for the teaching that they appreciate. And they have their own desires, so they find a teacher that preaches those desires to be all right. So that's a little bit easy. And you can find so many speakers today on YouTube or on whatever, internet. And they just teach what you want. And he talks about the things that you feel and that you want, and that it's okay. And as you are confirmed by a teacher in what you believe and what you want, that it is in line with the Bible, so it must be true. You are acknowledged in your own perseverances and your own beliefs. You know, if you have something like social media, everything that you find, you know, the algorithm just keeps on spewing more and more of the same information towards you. And then you have a vision of the world that is in line with your own beliefs. And you can just say, yes, the things that I like are all right. So even in the time of Timothy, they had those problems, and now so much more, you know. And if you are aware of this, and you don't put too much truth in the internet, then you will find your way. Some people just take every fact as a truth. So what is truth? I want to make a separation in the false teachings. So we have a false teacher, a false prophet, and a false teaching. So a false teacher, a false prophet, and then about the So as we look upon the false teachers, what are fruits of the spirit in their, his or her life? Maybe he tells great things, but just look at his life and just look upon what he's doing. Is what he is teaching also truth in his own life? So if you don't see the fruits, it's better not to listen to the teacher. Lots of times they are driven by the bad intentions. Maybe he likes being watched. In Matthew 7, be wary of false prophets. Watch out for false prophets. They come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By the fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So watch out for false teachings. They look at the fruits. Sometimes our children play a game called the imposter. It's something like who is the mole, or you you have to trick other people and stuff like that. Of course, it's a very nice game. But you have to be a little bit sneaky. You know, like who is the mole? So nice. Just team efforts, but one is trying to sabotage it. And he has to remain on low key. He has to be like a wolf in sheep's clothes. Pretends to be innocent, but he is a wolf. He tries to sabotage things and do all kind of mischief. So be wary, you know, look at the fruits of the prophet. What are the effects of his words? Somebody can bring a nice message, but what is the effect of what he tells us? In infirmity, it is written again, if somebody has a different teaching, he does not hold to his normal words of Jesus Christ. And he teaches something that is not in line with the fruits of the Lord. He's confused and does not know anything. He has sickly tempted to twist and a struggle of words. and he will deceive people and lead them away from the truth. Turn away from people like this. You know, sometimes people are fighting, you know, between the things they believe. But, you know, just keep away from this. Maybe they see the gospel as a source of revenue, income. Maybe you have to pay a lot for the things that they teach you. You have to be wary. If it's just only about money. You know, if the teacher comes to just to profile himself, you know, be wary. Jesus warns us for this. So. No one ever knows what is the motivation of another person. You cannot look in their hearts. Sometimes when you know somebody a little bit better, you can taste a little bit of his motivation. And you see something about fruits, something in his fruits, the fruits that he bears. So you can just see what motivates someone to be a prophet or a teacher. Just be wary about this, you know. Does he do it to be seen, to be acknowledged? Or is he always putting the Lord Jesus in the center of it all? So they can be the people that he teaches, can be better disciples of the Lord. Sometimes people are a false teacher without them knowing. You can be misled yourself and can share what you found out with everybody, even if it's not true. So, how do you guard yourself to false teachers? And a little bit of sourdough makes all of the bread sour. I trust you in the Lord that you will have no other and just remind yourself whoever brings you in so if you are a false teacher, if you know it or not, you will be judged. Even a little bit of false teaching is enough to make the bread sour. Maybe somebody is misled. And, you know, it happens that somebody starts teaching a false teaching and it does it so great that complete congregations fall apart, you know. People letting go of the gospel of the Lord. You know, it's like spiritual, something spiritual. And the truth is not spoken there anymore. And just they see a difference between what is taught and what I read in the Bible. And all of the bread that was the church is sour now, and it breaks apart. We as a congregation have to be wary. We have to focus on the Lord. And, you know, it's not just about the good speaker that says nice things, you know. Sometimes a message is heavy, and it sands you, it grinds you. It grinds with how you live. And you realize that you have to clean up your life, that you have to forgive people, and that you have to do something. And sometimes that hurts. And maybe you don't want to hear it. But if it's, you know, but Jesus does not promise us that the truth would be easy and has a sweet ring to the ears. So he challenges us that we truly do something with the words that the Lord spoke and were written down in the Bible. You know, and if you wonder about your life, sometimes the Lord says difficult things. He says, I am a bringer of peace, but I am not, he also says, I am not here to bring peace. But he is the Lord of peace for everybody that wants to follow him. But if you reject the message of the Lord, you will drift away from the Lord, and he will not bring you peace. And Jesus warns us, warns against false teachings, religion. The Lord warns us against religions. The Pharisees were so great in putting rules upon the people. But Jesus warns us against this. White plastered graves and stuff like this, he calls them. And why? They impose their law, the law of the Lord upon the people, not the way the Lord intended it. And maybe as you are here with a congregation, we celebrate, we are set free by the sacrifice that Jesus made for us. But everything has to be a little bit under control. It has to be a flow. So we make up rules. Sometimes, of course, you need a little bit of rules, but you have to always be alert that it's not about the rules, but it's about the Lord. So we are here to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that set us free. He delivered us from the yoke of slavery, delivered us from sin and the consequences of sin. And he warns, don't be institutionalized again, you know, with the religion and their rules. You cannot gain your everlasting life by living this way or that way. We are bought and paid by the blood of Jesus. And that is what saves us. So, sometimes we have teaching that puts the man or the person in the center, and everything in the church is but we have to remind ourselves that the Lord came for us all, but it does not mean that you are a central part of the gospel. Jesus is the center of the gospel, the first and the last, the beginning of the creation. And it will be the, when he comes back, he will rule everything. We can serve him. But the gospel is not about us. It's about Jesus. Sometimes you hear in teaching that it's not about Jesus, but more about the man. Let it be a alarm whistle. Most false teachings just focus at some of the texts in the Bible.
آدمهای گروهی فقط تمرکز میکنن روی یک بخش کوچیک و چند تا از آیه های خاصه.
And I take of course also text from the Bible to support my message today. But you can always examine my spirit and my scripture, of course, you can examine it. You know, do that. But not just because I am speaking, but we should do it every Sunday, you know. Is it truly the word of the Lord that is being brought? Or is it just something that he imagined? And we have to be alert, no? So, if you just look at some texts, you can pretty quickly come out to something that all of the humans are saved. Everything that draws breath is saved. And people twist it. They twist it so that Jesus just came for the redemption of all of the world. And that is true. There is redemption for all. The sacrifice Jesus made was big enough for us all. But there is also in John, it is written, everyone that believes in him will be saved. So it's not for all, you know, it's for all that believe. Of course, you have to repent and be baptized. And we know that the Lord has good intentions for us. But we have to repent and leave our old life behind us. We have to die on our flesh and ourselves. So we give the Lord the room that he needs to fill us completely. And it's, you know, your salvation is not taken for granted. You know, it's a continuous process. There are people that in the name of the Lord cast out demons and heal the sick. And later, if they come to the Lord, when their time has come and they want to enter the kingdom, the Lord will say to them, I do not know you. Who are you? You know, Jesus warns us, you know. Remember Simon the wizard, who saw Pilas and Silas. And they saw the great things that happened in the name of Jesus. And he said, hey man, I wanna buy this power from you. He was impressed by it. And maybe you are impressed by miracles that happen. And as the power of the Lord reveals itself, you are greatly impressed. But it's more about Jesus than the things that he does for you. But I fear that like the serpent misled Eve, maybe your thoughts will be misled too, away from the simplicity that is in Christ. So, it's not about the splendor. It's about Jesus that died for us, was resurrected. The Holy Spirit that he poured out for in our hearts. As he sat on the right hand of the throne, of course. And he poured out gifts. But all of these gifts are just for the congregation and the kingdom of the Lord. And maybe if there's someone else comes that teaches a different Jesus that we did not teach, or if you receive a different spirit than the spirit that you received by the gospel.
The woman
So if we have a teaching, we have to examine it. So how to keep standing in the Lord? So examine what is in the Bible. Yeah, people teach themselves so much to examine like a diamond, or are so so great experts in the gemstones that you can just look at it and say this is false or this is true. And we have to be experts in the way of the Lord, you know, what is written in the Bible, that we know what is written, and if we hear something that is not in line with this, that we know, then we will know that it's not true. And there's always context in the Bible. Sometimes if you just take the Bible and look at some verses, you can really be led astray. But it's always best to just read all of the page, you know, or a little bit more even. Not just one sentence, but just the paragraph or the at least half of the page, you know, you have to read it so that you know what it's about. You know, that you know what the prophets are talking about. And in Acts 17 it is written, and immediately the brothers sent Paulus and Silas to Berea. They went there to the synagogue. And they were nice people in the synagogue. They received the word that Paulus and Silas brought and examined the scripture to see if the things they were taught were true. In Acts 17:10, verse 11. So are we as the ones in Thessalonica? Do we, if we hear something, do we examine it to the scripture? The next one. We are a congregation with each other. It's not easy being a Christian alone. If you are on your own, in your home, it is easy to be misled. Especially in these times, the times of misleading, I guess. You know, we have to be together to teach each other. In Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he has given some as apostolates, some as evangelists, and some as teachers. And why did he do that? To prepare God's people for work of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach unity in the faith and knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining the full measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up. You know, and Paulus wrote these things down to teach us. You know, maybe you are a teacher or a prophet. Take this seriously. If you lift the path of a prophet or a teacher, then make sure that you have some fruits, that you follow the Lord in all, so the congregation can teach you, examine your words that you speak and your teachings. You know, and we should remind ourselves that there are becoming more and more people in Dronten. Many people realize they cannot be alone and they have to repent. Maybe you heard something. There are some, you think there are some things in my life that maybe I am misled. Maybe in the spirit or in a teaching that you think, well, I'm not really sure. And maybe you can say a heartfelt amen to what I taught you and teach you. I want to just ask for this moment. Just give the Lord a little bit of time. And we'll also pray about this a little bit in groups of two and three. We can pray for maybe protection against false teaching. And that you will receive the power to spread out the gospel. So let's just 5 minutes time for this and pray for each other. And maybe share something. And that the truth that is the Lord can be the truth in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.